Hi, I'm Erica Ramirez, founder of Illy and host of What About Your Friends, a podcast dedicated to the many lives of friendship and how it's portrayed in pop culture. Every Wednesday on the Ringer Dish feed, I talk to my best friend, Stephen Othello, and your favorites from within the Ringer and beyond about friendships on TV, in movies, pop culture, and our real lives. So join me every Wednesday on the Ringer Dish feed where we try to answer the question TLC asked back in the day, what about your friends?
This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com. Tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else. This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.
Welcome to Food News. I'm Juliette Littman.
And I'm David Jacoby.
Let's put 30 minutes on the clock.
30
Jacoby,
minutes.
Jacoby, we're back. We're back in New York.
What a spring break we had.
We had an awesome time. I've been telling everyone to go to Tenerife. Like, literally. I'm like, go to the Canary Islands.
Yeah, my wife was like, let's go to Tenerife this summer. I was like, I just got back.
Well,
like, no.
It's cool.
It is cool, but like, I got a little time away.
Okay. Yeah, go summer 2024. It's only a 6.5-hour flight from Newark.
Oh, I'm definitely going to be back to Tenerife.
It was awesome.
I just want to say this. Great lineup of stories.
We say that every week, but also true.
There's no wrong story to start with. So you take the wheel.
Well, we got to go where the people are, which is to the backwoods of New Jersey,
mm-hmm.
where hundreds of pounds of Alphabet's, or it's like, pasta was just dumped.
And spaghetti.
SpaghettiOs and Alphabet's.
Yes.
That's the name of it. Alphabet's. I couldn't recall. This really got a lot of attention last week, and I'm glad we're discussing it this week because apparently the mystery has been solved.
It has. But before we get to like the solved part.
I've got some questions though.
Let's talk about the mystery part. Imagine you're like going on a hike with a buddy.
Yeah.
Maybe you smoked a joint. You're walking through the woods.
It's like teens walking through the
woods.
Yeah,
you're by a creek and you come across a mountain of what seems to be cooked spaghetti.
It sounds disgusting.
And pasta.
It's absolutely gross.
In the woods.
Also, the fact that it was Alphabet's is even like weirder.
It's way weirder.
It's not even just like ZD or Penny.
No one explains the we have explanation for how this got there eventually.
Kind of.
But there's still some loose ends that need to be tied up.
And there's just, it was estimated to be 200 pounds. Also, this poundage of pasta was found by someone in local government.
Mm-hmm.
So it immediately got some attention. And it was in Middlesex County in New Jersey. And it was just like, what's this doing here? I mean, what would be your first guess of to how 200 pounds of pasta got there?
Okay. I don't really have a true answer to that. But my first reaction were I to be the person who stumbled upon it is I would be fear. I would just be scared. Like, have you ever come across something weird in the middle of the woods and you're just like, oh, this is like where witches and occults and bad things happen. Now, my first emotional response would be fear. I want to leave this area. There's bad things happening here.
I was like, how is the mafia involved? That was my first take.
Oh.
I was just like, this is super weird, and it's in New Jersey.
So, New Jersey, Italian food, mafia. That's how your logic train went down the track?
I'm not sure I'm willing to call this Italian food. Are the Italians wanting to claim Alphabet's?
No, they are not. They're not.
SpaghettiOs?
No, they're not.
So it's more like noodles. But I think just like an anomaly in the woods reminds me of The Sopranos. So I was like, how's the mafia involved?
Because never saw The Sopranos.
It's insane.
But I did grow up in a heavy foresty area.
Uh-huh.
And you would find like foundations out there of like long ago cottages that with graffiti on them. And you're like, what kind of occult weird things happened here? That would be my first response, would be like, they're evil. That would be the word I would put is evil. The evil happened here.
Something bad and nefarious.
This pasta was brought here by evil.
Something very scary. I think you're right. Fear.
Yeah.
I was definitely like, oh, this is a crime of some kind. But apparently that's not the case. But I'm going to share the facts and then we can decide.
Please, please. Because the facts don't seem like the facts, even though they're the facts. And you know how I am about facts.
They're flexible to you. Okay. So what happened was.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Apparently. A man.
Mm-hmm.
Allegedly a military veteran was moving out of his mother's home after her death, and he found a stockpile of old food that she had kept in the house.
But like a prepper. This is like true prepper behavior.
Like doomsday, yeah.
I mean, I think everyone has like a couple of like dried pastas and canned goods, like JIC, but 200 pounds worth.
That's like crazy. Although I will say also, it had rained. So allegedly,
yes.
Originally the pasta was raw, so it was like hard. And it had rained, so it, like, absorbed all of the water.
Okay, my first follow-up question. Imagine that you were cleaning out your, and you know, you lose a parent, that's always sad. You're cleaning out their home, also sad. And you come across a bunch of dry pasta, and you want to dump it in the woods for whatever reason. Why did you unbox it?
Also, if it's alphabets.
Where's the box?
Doesn't that come in a can?
Where's the cans?
Yeah, and also, like, why did you open that?
I've seen the pictures. None of, like, this is very strange behavior. The explanation is not an explanation in my book. Yours?
I completely agree. It's not an explanation.
It's not an explanation.
And then the neighbors, this guy Keith Ross, who's the one who found it to begin with, the councilman, he said, I just moved in right next door, so it would have been a big mess to start cleaning all the flies in the house and the maggots. And
how far away do you live from this other home? It's by a creek in the woods.
Also, do maggots, like...
attracted to pasta? And why would they just be, like, adjacently going into a home?
Don't you need a carcass for maggots?
I don't know how maggots work, but I'm sure they don't need carcasses, I'm pretty sure. But still, this is...
like, animal decay.
Where are the cans and the boxes?
This has got to be a smuggling situation. That's my take.
We'll get to some smuggling later.
Great
tease.
That's what I think that is going on. They're using the cans for something.
What are you... using the cans for something?
Yeah, resealing them, putting shit in the cans.
Wow, your brain is fascinating. Because this to me just makes no sense. Like, there's no logic line for any of this to make any sense. But you did just sort of create a theory, which, albeit asinine, does make some sense.
Well... has anyone gone looking for the cans? Like, that's my question.
Or the boxes.
Or the boxes, yeah.
No, they have not.
And so that's weird.
Is the person that dumped it so, like, recycling conscious that they wanted to, like, recycle the boxes in the cans and the pasta is non-recyclable, so they just put it in the woods?
It doesn't seem like it. What the neighbors think is that this is just, like, a COVID excess and they're getting rid of, like, this extra COVID food. But even that, it would actually be easier to drop this shit off at a food bank. And just
facts.
Like, and just like leave it and like hope they deal with it.
It's probably a 10-minute car ride to somewhere where you can put this food to good use to hungry people.
I've become obsessive with like cleaning out my closet and like not wanting to have any excess clothing or shoes. And I always donate it, not because it's the right thing to do, because it's the easiest thing for me to do.
It depends on how far away the donation place is, but I also donate my old stuff.
Yeah, I just drive it. I like put it in the car, and then I drive it somewhere. And like, that's the easiest thing.
When I was younger and I lived in this neighborhood, I would just put it outside, and yeah. I would see people wearing it later around the neighborhood, which always made me feel good.
It's street freebie season in Brooklyn.
Yes, it is. But sometimes I would see like an old t-shirt on a dude in the neighborhood. I'd be like, I kind of want that back. You know, you see your clothes in someone else, you're like, that's pretty good.
That's never happened to me, but...
okay.
But sometimes I'm like, oh, if it's something I still own, I'm like, oh, we just bought the same thing, then I feel embarrassed.
I feel that way about a t-shirt. I do not feel that way about old spaghetti.
Something you've given away.
Spaghetti in particular that's been rained on.
There's nothing about dumping pasta in the woods that's easy, convenient, or logical.
300 pounds of pasta, that's wet, so I'm assuming it's like 150 pounds. So what do we have, a wheelbarrow situation? You're unboxing and uncanning it all and then dumping it. Do you know what's easier than that? Putting it in your trunk of your car and taking it to somewhere where they need these goods.
Yeah, and just leave it in the middle of the night even. Like, who gives a shit? So Something is, there is a crime there's involved.
There's more
here.
To this.
There's definitely a crime.
So we've been tracking this story because we were on spring break. And at first it was like mystery pasta in the woods. And then the latest headline is like, we solved the mystery. But like, no, you did not.
People want you to think it's been solved.
Thank you so much for saying that. There's more to this story. And here, us journalists at Food News, we'll get to the bottom of it.
I just want someone to go looking for the cans and to report back. Tell me where the cans are.
Me or Mike?
I think Mike, he's already in New Jersey.
He's already
right
in New
now.
Jersey. Good. Great. Moving on.
All right. Let's move on. On the topic of smuggling, an American was caught smuggling two suitcases filled with only fruit roll-ups into Israel.
First of all, your facts are already wrong.
And they didn't bring anything else with them.
It was a couple. And it was three suitcases.
650 pounds.
It was, nope, 375 in the suitcases. And then shipped in a separate incident was another, I think, 200-something pounds. So, here's my favorite part about this. If you have three suitcases full of individually wrapped fruit roll-ups,
yep,
and you're bringing them to a foreign country, and you get stopped by customs, and they're asking you questions about it, the idea that you have the gall to claim that it's for personal use is just so... I look up to you. I really do. The idea that this is like you're gonna... They're opening... You see the video. They open up the suitcases, and the people are like, oh, that's for my family.
It's outrageous.
What? It's not like Levi's jeans. You know what I mean? It's like fruit roll-ups. If you have 300 pounds of fruit roll-ups in three suitcases, you're like, what do you mean smuggling goods? That's for my family. They love fruit roll-ups.
It's absolutely outrageous. I gotta say, we wanted to try the TikTok trend of fruit roll-ups and ice cream, and I went looking for fruit roll-ups.
So did I.
Couldn't find them.
Do you know why?
They're all fucking
they're
in
all
Israel.
They're all in Israel right now. But also, like, TikTok is not an Israel-based, it's a global phenomenon. So why is Israel so hot on the fruit roll-up trend and nowhere else?
Maybe because it's not kosher. I think that like a lot of Jell-O stuff isn't kosher.
Oh.
And so maybe like to get into the country, they have to bring it from somewhere else.
Huh.
Because, I mean, it's just a guess. But I don't know. That's what occurred to me first.
Huh. I didn't think of that.
But they also have non-kosher food in Israel, I think. As far as I know, the snacks. Whatever. Israel's great snacks. But
shout out to the snacks in Israel.
Do.
Quick aside. Great snacks.
I bought a lot. But this is just so funny. Obviously, I thought about Mike and his bagels. He's lucky he didn't get stopped at the airport.
I mean, it wasn't like illegal for him to bring the bagels. It's more just embarrassing. They'd be like, what are you doing? He'd be like, I don't want to get into it.
It's just really weird. Like, what are they going to do with the fruit roll-ups? Like,
sell them, and they're going for $5, $6 individually. But
probably here, too, because we cannot fucking find them. I just want you to know, I went to like five stores in Fort Greene. And not like nice stores, like just like regular stores. And the people here are so bougie that all you can get is like an Annie's organic.
Yeah, of course. Like fruit, like actual fruit.
Like fruit tape
up.
Or whatever. Yeah, I'm like, okay, this is still really sugary. Like, this is ridiculous. But like, let's just take it down a notch, Fort Greene.
Well, I went to the CVS, and where the fruit roll-ups are supposed to be, there was like an empty part of the shelf.
Did it say fruit roll-up on the shelf?
I should have checked. I did not.
Just curious if they ever had them. I
think they did.
I'm like, maybe fruit roll-ups are scarce because of these people and because of TikTok.
Did you watch the video, the TikTok video?
Yeah.
So she puts mango ice cream in the middle of what I think is a strawberry fruit roll-up. And one thing that shocked me is she likes the crunch, this woman, right?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize how quickly fruit roll-ups reacted to cold. Because it was seconds later and all of a sudden the fruit roll-ups was like ice.
When did you last have a fruit roll-up?
I have children.
Do they have them though?
They do fruit by the foot more.
Well,
those are much more popular.
That's widely available as a Lucy here in the bodegas of Fort Greene. And
exactly.
I almost bought it.
But it's not the same.
No. So I ask you again, when did you last have a fruit roll-up?
Ooh.
They're scarce.
No, they're scarce, but I had one like a few months ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Where? Like, where do you get them?
There was
I was going to go to
Target. A term that we use way too often is bodega, but there was one in my neighborhood that had the fruit roll-up box, but it was empty. And Margo, my daughter, was very upset because she wanted them. And then over a couple of months of complaining about it, they filled it and got a new one.
Oh, interesting. That's nice. So they're selling them loose as well?
Agent of change, yes.
Wow. I just never thought about fruit roll-ups as a loose item that one would
buy. I don't
buy.
Think it's legally sold loose, but...
Well, there's apparently a lot of illegal activity around fruit roll-ups.
There is. Fruit roll-up smuggling. I just love the idea that The customs officers opened up their three suitcases that were exclusively for fruit roll-ups, asked them if they brought any clothes.
They said they had them in
they
Israel.
Said, we have clothes in Israel. And then they said, like, you know what? We're not smuggling goods. This is not what we're doing. This is for personal use. I just love the gall of these smugglers to stick by their story, even in the face of obvious illegal activity.
And also, it's a very straightforward, good answer. It's for personal use. Like,
no, it's not.
I think that's a great answer. Like, then they ask, like, what the use is. But I don't know. Maybe it's like a favor at a bar mitzvah. That's what I would have said. I would have been like, we're giving these out to
Mike
our guests.
Work on story.
That's what I would have said. We're giving it out to the guests into the guest bags.
You have 375 people at your bar mitzvah?
It's Israel. It's a lot of Jewish people to attend a bar mitzvah.
A lot. Yeah. Very, very popular young man or woman.
All right. Let's move on to a topic near and dear to my heart. Nuns. One of my favorite television shows is called The Midwife, so I feel like I, like, really commune with nuns, but those are fake nuns. But if I wanted to, I could go to the Dutch city of Oosterhout.
Oosterhout?
Where the nuns grow their own wine, make their own wine, grow their own grapes, to support their 376-year-old convent. I know from Call the Midwife, they're always looking for money because
I have a lot of thoughts, but Sister Act, you continue.
Anyway, they have a real surplus of wine. They had a couple of bad harvests that has just led to it.
Only 9,000 bottles one year.
Only real. But now they have a surplus of 60,000.
60,000 bottles. And they have a deal with an airline. They're not nuns. It's a winery.
They're very intrepid nuns. And they're trying to sell as many as they can. They're asking for our help. And this is interesting. This is a good point. There was a quote that said, there's a mistaken impression that Dutch wine isn't tasty, but nowadays it's almost as good. And this is wine with a story. I thought that was a beautiful way of putting it. And I was like, yes, I would never want to get wine that was Dutch. That would just never occur to me.
Never occurred to me.
Of Tom with the German wine. I think it was German on Succession.
Oh, I was thinking Succession. I was thinking more Madsen, you know? But I will say this. I think these nuns are full of shit. I think they're grifters. They're not nuns. They basically are winemakers that make a profit from this and live off of it. And I don't know how much time they're dedicating to whatever their nunly responsibilities are, but it seems like they're spending a lot of time making wine and selling wine. They have a deal with an international...
KLM.
Yeah, they have a deal with an international airline. Like, they're not nuns.
Yeah. I mean,
they're what are we called? Vinters? Wine?
Vintners.
People? Vintners? Yeah. Sure.
Have you seen Sister Act?
One and two. Two, much better than one. Boom. Shout out to Lauryn Hill.
They have hobbies and they have like activities.
They play basketball.
And stuff. Yeah, they do stuff. I think they can make wine. I have no problem with that. I'm calling midwife. They're midwives and nurses. But if this is what they do, I'm okay with it. I don't know. I'm here to support the nuns. I didn't expect this turn.
How do you think God feels about this? Their God.
Well, I do think it's a real, like, natural process. It's very olden times, you know? So it's not like they're, like, introducing, I don't know, like, some kind of excess into their lives. In fact, they're trying to get rid of their excess.
But for a profit.
Well, just to sustain the convent.
I think the convent's doing fine. They're selling 60,000 bottles of wine. I think they're doing just fine. Their convent is probably luxurious.
I bet it's not. God would be unhappy about that because nuns are supposed to live a very spare life. Bare necessities.
Should we have God on next week?
Oh, I thought you were going
to
say, should we go there next year for spring break? Go visit this convent.
In Oosterhout?
Yeah.
No, I'm good.
Okay, let's move on. Next story, also related to wine, and we know where we should be sending this excess wine, to the bush in Australia, because should you ever get stuck there, you can survive on wine, apparently.
And candy. Maybe that's where the fruit roll-ups are.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A woman named Lillian.
Say her last name.
Ip.
She was traveling.
I think it's Ip.
It's an interesting last name.
Sure. She's traveling through the dense bush in Victoria State.
Mm-hmm.
Australia is so big. I've never been, but I'm just like, wow, it's so big. Anyway, she doesn't drink. But the only thing she had in her car after she hit a wrong turn was a bottle of wine that she was planning to give as a present.
To her mom.
She was then stranded for 5 nights, and this wine literally sustained her.
I have a lot of questions.
Me too.
Okay. I watch a lot of like survivalist television. Mm-hmm. I know that you can't survive more than 3 days without water, technically. And doesn't wine dehydrate you?
It does. But I guess like all liquids technically have water in them.
Okay. Also, she took a wrong turn. I don't
Going to see her mom.
Yeah, going to see mom. How wrong was this turn? You know what I mean? Like I also, my son was in this thing called Outback Truckers for a while.
Uh-huh.
It's basically like ice road truckers, but you're in the Outback. They get stuck in mud all the time. All the time.
Should they have, like, special, like, tires for that?
No, but what she should have is called a cell phone. so she can call someone if she gets stuck. That's it. Forget the wine and the candy. The cell phone would be the survivalist tool that I would go to first.
I think she was in the bush, though.
So, satellite cell phone.
Yeah, you should always have a sat phone with you. Also, with the new iPhones, they do have that SOS thing where, like, even when there's no service, you're supposed to be able to be found. So,
what is that? What is that icon next to the SOS thing?
I think it's telling you that there's
no... It's like a plane? It's like a
satellite thing that has no...
Is that it's a satellite?
I thought it was a satellite.
I don't know what it is. It's new in my, user interface. And I'm like, what is that icon? I don't know it. I'm on the train. Why am I looking at a weird-looking X?
Once again, we have questions is the point. This doesn't check out.
Oftentimes we have questions. And she was found because she stayed by her car instead of going wandering because the nearest town was 37 miles, which how bad of a wrong turn can you take?
Also, over the course of 5 days, would you not try to walk that?
I mean, after day two, I'm definitely doing something.
I guess it depends how exposed it is and like the elements. But 37 miles, you could easily walk that in 5 days. You could walk that in 3 days.
I'm assuming since she made a wrong turn that almost killed her, that she doesn't know which direction the 37 miles is in. Because I'm sure that's as the crow flies, knowing where you're going.
That's true.
But you could end up just wandering the bush. I think Australia is like a bunch of nothing in a few cities. That's my guess.
Well, yeah, it's really big. So there's like a lot of outback, as seen in season 2 of Survivor.
And the steakhouse.
A great Survivor season. Shout out to Colby and Tina Wesson. All right, one more story from Australia that I just really need to get into. It's a neighborly dispute. Some neighbors in Perth are having a fight.
I could do an hour and a half on this.
One person who is a vegan who lives in this neighborhood, Burns Beach, asked their neighbors to close their windows when they are cooking their, quote, sickening meat. The neighbor said, please take seriously.
No, and it said important message in all caps on the outside of the letter. Important message in all caps.
Hello, neighbor. Could you please shut your side window when cooking, please? My family are vegan, parentheses. We only eat plant-based foods, close parentheses. And the smell of the meat you cook makes us feel sick and upset. We would appreciate your understanding. Thanks. Whew.
Hard to take the side of the neighbor on this one.
Which neighbor? The cook
vegans.
Or the vegan?
The vegans.
Completely
very
agree.
Hard to take their side.
How about you close your window?
I tried as hard as I could to like come with a zag on this one. Like, all right, so how can I get behind these complaining neighbors? And I got nothing. I got nothing.
Can they not close their own fucking window?
It's also not an important message.
Great
like,
point.
It's like on the outside of the letter, it says important message in all caps. I would think there was something really important on the inside. It's like, oh, you don't like the smell of my cooking? That's important to you?
It's also so arbitrary. Like, why do your needs come before the other people's needs? It's ridiculous.
And
they make it seem like it's holier than thou, I think. Like, we're vegan.
We use the term, like, what happens on your side of the street doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
Like, as neighbors, like, it does on your side of the street. Don't get involved. There's nothing to do with me. I'm cooking my meat over here. Don't impress your value system on my home.
I completely
that's across
agree.
The street. You can do your plant-based thing over there. That's fine. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to eat dead animals over here. So we can get along.
There's no way in which I'd be like, you're right. This is a really important message. I'm going to reconsider this.
Exactly.
I would say, you know what? I'm cooking something. The exhaust needs to be let out. So why don't you close your windows?
Important message.
Or deal with it.
Your home is on fire. Important message. Your wife is cheating on you when you go to work every day. Like, those are important messages. Please stop cooking meat.
That got really serious really fast. Your wife's cheating on you? Oh, my God.
I don't think so.
Well, you just brought that up.
Shout out to Joey.
No, not you.
Oh.
These people in Australia.
I'm just saying those are the important messages that I would get from neighbors. Not like, oh, your meat smell is bothering me. Not at all.
Just to be clear, I would never bring up your personal life like that on a podcast.
Okay, good.
Just want you to know.
I love you, Joey. Please don't cheat on me.
Anyway, this vegan family needs to just...
They need to chill.
They need to take a chill
I really
pill.
Don't like them. And
me
I know
neither.
Nothing about them, but I
me
already
neither.
Hate them. You're sickening meat. It's sickening to you.
Yeah, and it's just like...
Meat is delicious.
And it's your preference. Live your life in your own home and close your windows if you're being impacted.
It's honestly like having a neighbor that dresses really poorly and being like, your outfits are really bothering me.
Yeah.
Like, please dress better. It's like, nothing to do with you.
I don't like the sound of other people's like lawns being mowed. Like, I find it annoying. But like, that's what? It,
no,
just
no,
what it
no,
is.
No. What? Are you serious?
Yeah. It drives me crazy.
You don't like the sound of other people's lawns being mowed.
Yeah. When it's like really quiet and there's just like lawn mowing happening for like hours or like leaf blowing and like other landscaping. It
are
like
you
drives me crazy.
I'm just going to let you have that.
Thanks. Yeah. It drives me
Let's
crazy.
Let's just move on.
I'm just, I accept it. It's part of having neighbors.
I don't even know how to respond to this information.
I'm very sensitive to sound.
Okay, but you grew up in Manhattan where there's no lawn mowing or leaf blowing going on.
Yeah, I know. That's why it's really annoying to me.
Okay.
That's like a new, it's like, I'm like, oh, this is all like, right. It's really quiet otherwise, so, except for this.
For my notes and for Mike Wargon and all listeners, if you are leaf blowing, don't do it around Juliet.
No, you can. I accept it. Like, this is something that
happens. Oh, I see what you're doing. Like, I don't like it, but yeah. It's just part of life.
Yeah, exactly.
You need your lawn mowed. It bothers me, but that's just part
that's
of
it.
What needs to happen.
What am I supposed to do about it? So you're going to eat your meat and I'm going to be annoyed by it if I'm vegan, and that's that. Like, it's just, we all have to accept it. This is part of being on Earth.
And I just want to put a bow on this. Not an important message at all.
The important part's really what got you.
It's the all caps on the outside.
Important.
Yeah. If I saw that, like, underneath my, like, I don't know, door frame or whatever, where someone slides a neighborly message, I would think something really important was on the inside. Not, please stop cooking meat.
Like, yeah. Like, yeah. Even a delivery coming. Like, important. Can you accept a delivery for me? Way more important.
Close your side window so my front windows are okay. I can open my door.
I know. Just get out of town.
You know what? I hate these people.
All right. We have one more story really quickly. We have to because we're back. It's a heist.
I love a heist.
Someone stole thousands of bourbon in Kentucky. Can you believe it?
It was like three bottles. Well, and I think he inflated
bourbon.
The value of the bottles too. It was more like the street value of the bottles. And it was from a karaoke bar in Lexington, Kentucky. And he basically left the door unlocked.
So you're just like, he deserved it.
And he's also getting more than $3,000 worth of press from it.
That's true. I would consider going to this bar. If I was in Lexington and I didn't know of any bar, I'd be like, oh, I read about that. Nulu. That's what it's called.
Nulu. Is it?
Yeah. Nulu Karaoke Bar.
Oh, okay.
Nulu.
It sounds like the hip part of Lexington.
I bet Lexington's fun with UK there.
I've been. I've had a good time there.
Oh, yeah, it seems like a cool place.
I've been, yeah.
All right, should we get into our taste test?
Yes, we should.
This episode is brought to you by UGG. Y'all know UGG is a brand that athletes wear all the time in the tunnel and on travel days. Well, I bet you think UGG season is only during the colder months of the year. Au contraire, you're wrong. You need to check out the latest spring drop from UGG. They have everything from sandals to clogs. I like the sandals. UGG has you covered for your next spring adventure. Shop the Golden Collection at UGG.com. This episode is brought to you by Lincoln and the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid, featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God. The world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates. This episode is brought to you by NetSuite by Oracle. The less your business spends, the more margin of money you have. I think that's pretty obvious for everyone, but actually doing it, that's easier said than done because the cost of everything is going up these days. So do the smart thing. Switch to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth so you can easily reduce costs and headaches. NetSuite specifically helps by reducing IT costs since it lives in the cloud with no hardware required and cutting the costs of maintaining multiple systems since everything you need is on one suite. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. See for yourself how effective NetSuite can be and try it out today. And by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/ringer. That is netsuite.com/ringer.
All right. We're tasting an ice cream today that I always wanted to taste. I think it's like a year old. Häagen-Dazs black and white cookie ice cream. First of all, we've tasted a lot of ice creams on this.
Yes, we love ice cream. It's great. My favorite.
I love ice cream too. I love Häagen-Dazs. I feel it doesn't get enough attention.
It's a great ice cream, not the healthiest option. I will also say that black and white cookies, wildly overrated.
I think their quality varies a lot, so it really depends on what you get.
Wildly overrated. It's a sugar cookie with two quote-unquote flavors of frosting that taste the same. If you blind bit each one, it's the same on each side.
I also, sometimes they're really cakey. Sometimes the cookie will be cakey, and I really like that. And they're huge, yeah.
Sometimes it's like, how many people am I supposed to eat this with? So I'm going to try this black and white cookie ice cream. So the My expectations are very low.
It's inspired by the black and white. It's vanilla ice cream with soft cookie pieces and ripples of chocolate frosting.
Well, it's absolutely fucking delicious because it's Haagen-Dazs. You know what I mean?
Haagen-Dazs is so underrated. Just doesn't get enough love.
If someone said Ben and Jerry's or Haagen-Dazs, I would say Haagen-Dazs before you even said Dazs.
This vanilla ice cream is awesome. This ice cream has nothing to do with the black and white
cookie.
Nothing
to do with black and white cookie.
It's delicious.
It's good. Net, Haagen-Dazs can do no wrong.
Mm.
Black and white cookies, wildly overrated. If you come to New York, don't eat them.
And we both got a cookie bit.
I barely noticed it. It's just vanilla ice cream. If you put a blindfold on me and said this is vanilla ice cream, I'd be like, okay.
I'd be like, what's in it?
But yeah, there's
like,
a little bit of a texture in there, but no.
I'd be like, what's the topping? I wouldn't be like, what's in it?
Are we doing personal or listener food news first? You're in charge.
Personal food news.
Okay.
I'm really excited about mine. I went to H Mart for the first time. Have you ever been to an H Mart? It's a Korean grocery store.
No, I have not.
It was popularized to me by the book, the memoir, Crying in H Mart, and now there's just opened a lot more of them. I've heard there's one at the American Dream, so maybe you'll go.
I love the American Dream. I heard they're having financial issues. But
oh, no.
Yeah. Who would have thought?
You got to go more. Help them out.
Yeah, I will.
Anyway, I was at H Mart, and I was really excited to check out the wares, and they had an iced coffee from a brand called International Delight, and it was an Oreo flavor iced coffee. Iced coffee made with real milk and cream. It was like a tall boy can.
Wow. This is like a full on.
It's like a real
co-production
thing.
Yeah. It's a collab.
Like Oreo has allowed them to use their branding on this
Oreo
quote,
X Island Delight.
International Delight.
Island boys. Oh, they got in trouble recently.
It's
Move
a
on.
Coffee and milk beverage. I tasted it with apprehension and excitement. I chugged it in about 2 minutes because I loved it so much.
Really?
It wasn't iced coffee.
It was like
chocolate milc, but coffee milc instead of chocolate.
The people of La Colombe are so upset right now.
Well, this isn't actually coffee. This is like a sugary coffee-ish beverage. But I had just walked like 5 miles and I was really excited for like a treat. And this really hit the spot. I loved it. And H Mart was awesome. I get what the hype is about. It was a really cool store.
Okay, my personal food news is going to get me again in trouble with my wife. You've already accused her of cheating on me in this podcast, which is odd, Juliet. It's very strange of you. Secondly, for her birthday, I took all the kids out and we all got her presents. I was like, whatever you want to get her, we will buy for her.
Wow.
And Quincy wanted to get her a new toaster because the old toaster is
janky
and broken.
Great present.
So we bought a Breville. He's like, she likes Breville. So we bought her Breville toaster. She did not like the toaster. And quick question for you. She was like, why would you buy me a home gift for my birthday? That is bullshit. That's like buying us all something for my birthday. What are your thoughts quickly?
I see her point, but if it's something that's really important to her, then I think it does benefit
it's
her.
It's what the kid, he's 9 years old.
I think it's a really good present.
It's what the kid wanted. She hated it. And
oh
she,
my God.
And she returned it and bought an air fryer. So it came yesterday. I'm now an air fryer family.
Yeah, I have
so
one.
I will follow up food news. I'll follow up personal food news with my air fryer experiences next week.
I'm here to commiserate when you're ready.
It's a bad.
I don't like air fryer life. I think it's like.
Really?
Yeah, it's not for me. Also,
but
whatever.
On Instagram, everything looks so good.
I know. It is good for vegetables, I guess. I don't know. The basket's always too small. There's just a lot of issues with it. It's basically a convection.
Right.
Anyway.
So you guys can all follow me and Juliet on our air fryer experiences as we follow up personal food news.
I'd love for you to take this to the Instagram streets. Why don't you get involved in air fryer Instagram? Just put some shit up there. Get involved. Go for some viral content.
Maybe not.
All right. Fair enough. All right. Let's move on to our listener food news. Hit it, Mike.
Hi, Juliet and Jacoby. I am Kirsten from Minnesota, and I thank my friend Jess every day for introducing me to your podcast. Love it. Huh. Laugh out loud every episode while I'm driving around. And I just wanted to say, Jess and I are so jealous of your Spanish trip. We're definitely going to be replicating that, but the real reason I'm calling is because I feel like I've never been so seen as when Jacoby said he hates eggplant. I hate it so much.
Eggplant
I
sucks.
Don't even know why anyone could eat it.
Thank you.
Could enjoy it. Could
okay.
like put it in any sort
why?
Of thing. I hate it so much.
Is it even an
and
edible vegetable?
My friend Jess, we were in Italy and it came to light that I just absolutely hate eggplant so much. that when you guys were in Spain and you made Jacoby try a dessert with eggplant in it, I was in my car going, blah, blah. Desserts with eggplant? Absolutely not. So anyway, thank you, Jacoby, for hating eggplant. And I'm sorry to all the eggplant farmers out there, but it just is not my cup of tea. Bye.
That's nice. She's worried about the farmers.
Sorry to all the eggplant farmers out there. I love Kirsten and Jess so much.
Me too.
First of all, I have to admit that I feel like most of our callers love you more than me, which is a great read because you're better than I am, like objectively.
Thank you.
Number two is eggplant is disgusting. I don't know why it's a thing that people cook and eat. And I feel like only me and Kirsten have the right read. And third, I just want to say how much I love her saying the two quote-unquote words, blah, blah. Just the way that she said it really just touched my soul.
Kirsten seems like a good time.
I love Kirsten. Let's go to Minnesota.
Okay.
Next trip. You know what? Why go to, like, Spain and eat fancy food? You can go to Minnesota and hang out with Kirsten and Jess.
I think I'll pick Spain, but good point. Kirsten, thank you so much for calling. Thank you to Mike Largon.
Blah,
We'll be back next week.
Blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
This episode is brought to you by Lincoln and the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid. Featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God, the world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates.